The verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the verse that I would like to leave with you all this afternoon. Paul writing to Timothy, he's just a young minister, Timothy, but Paul writing to him reminds him that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is reminding Timothy that he has known from a little boy the Bible. By the Holy Scriptures is meant the Bible or the Word of God, the Bible that you and I possess today. The same Bible that you and I have in our homes, and the same Bible that we carry to church and perhaps even have in our hands this afternoon. Of course, this is a special year for the Bible, isn't it? For our English translation of the Bible, because our authorized version is 400 years old this year. Now, Timothy didn't have an English Bible. His Old Testament scriptures were probably a Greek translation. Ours is a faithful English translation. Ours came out of the Protestant Reformation, the translation did. But the Bible itself in the original tongues dates back to thousands of years ago, whenever it was first given by inspiration unto the prophets and the apostles by Almighty God. And we have a great translation today in our authorized version or in our King James Bible. And of course, our Bible is the daughter of earlier English versions, the Tyndale Testament and other faithful translations, which not only came out of the Protestant Reformation, but began and caused and gave ethos and power to the Protestant Reformation in England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. The Bible caused the Reformation. The Bible guided the Reformation. The Bible came out of the Reformation, and that Bible we possess today. But I must say to you men, it is not a Bible possessed that does us good. It is not a Bible possessed that made our nation a Protestant nation, espousing the principles of the Reformation. A Bible possessed is not enough. It must be a Bible known. And Paul, writing to Timothy, says, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy knew the Bible. He knew it from a child. And there's only one way to know it. That's to read it. That's to hear it preached and expounded and proclaimed. He knew it because he read it, he heard it, and he had been taught it. It isn't a Bible closed, unread, unheard, and gathering dust that makes darkened sinners Christians. It's only a Bible known that makes you a Christian. Rome wanted a closed Bible. The Pope wanted a closed Bible. They wanted a concealed Bible. They wanted locked up in the priest's house. But Luther and the Reformers, they wanted an open Bible. That's why they translated it. They didn't keep it locked up in Latin and in the original tongues. They translated it faithfully for the people. They not only translated it, they expounded it and they preached it. And they were following Jesus Christ in that regard, because Jesus Christ was a man of the book. He was always saying, it is written. He was always saying, to the law and to the testimony. He was always saying, what says the Scriptures? That's all that mattered. What does the Bible say? And the Reformers following the example of Christ our Lord and the apostles, were men who were always opening the book. We have an open Bible today, and only the open Bible, not a closed Bible, only the open Bible will do us good. The Lord Jesus started his ministry that way. After he was baptized by the Holy Spirit and he went into the synagogue, there was given to him a copy of the Holy Scriptures. And the Bible says he opened the book. That's how he commenced his ministry. He opened the book and he found Isaiah chapter 61. And he read it in the ears of the people. It is not a book possessed. It is not a book closed that will do us good. It is a book opened, a book read, a book preached and proclaimed that will do us good. You are Orange men today. You are Protestants today. You possess Bibles today. You carry Bibles today. You wear symbols of an open Bible today. Your chaplain read the Bible today in our presence. But do you know the Bible? Do you know what the Bible is all about? And especially, do you know why you have been given a Bible? It is no good saying ministers should know the Bible. That's true, they should. But the Bible was not given to ministers. The Bible was given to the people, to you, to all people. And this Bible will rise up and condemn you if you do not read it, if you do not love it, if you do not hear it, and if you do not obey it. It is a living book. It will arise. It will arise to the judgment and condemn you if you have let it lie neglected. So be careful what you do when you carry Bibles, and when you profess the word of God, and when you swear on the book. You be careful what you do, because it is the word of the living God and it is a living book. It was a Reformation principle that the Bible was for the people, not to be locked up in the priest's manse for the priest. It was a Bible for every man, not just for the clergy. And Timothy knew the Bible a long time before he was a minister, because he says, from a child you have known the book. His granny taught him, and his mommy taught him. And he knew the word of God, and that word of God sunk down into his heart, and that's why he became a minister. Ministers don't begin to know the book after they become ministers. They should know the book before they become ministers, and the book in their heart should make them ministers of that book. Let me ask you this, and I trust the questions will not offend you. Do you love the Bible? Do you read the Bible? Do you hear it preached? Do you love it to be expounded? Do you have an appetite for God's word? You may look fine Orange men, and we may all call ourselves fine Protestants, and we may carry our nice black covered Bibles, but are you Bible men? Would your fathers, your forefathers recognize you? You know, whenever Tyndale smuggled Bibles into southern England, coast of England, they were little tiny pocket Bibles. They were deliberately made small because your life was at risk if you owned a Bible in those days. And they were specially designed so they could be hidden up the cuff of a sleeve, because your life was in jeopardy if you possessed a copy of the Word of God. And men and women did get copies, putting their life in jeopardy. And they didn't get copies to stick them in the shelves of their bookcases. They read them. They devoured them. They searched those scriptures. They found out what that book had to teach them. And some of them lost their lives for reading it and were burnt at the stake for possessing it. They didn't expose themselves to the dangers of having a Bible and not read it. And it was the Bible made the Reformation. It wasn't John Knox or any other reformers in England. The Bible had gone out already among the people. It had done the work. And people said, we need men to preach this book. And they got hold of men like John Knox, who didn't want to be a minister, but they got hold of him in St. Andrew's Castle, and they says, you have to be a minister to us and to preach the Bible. That's what they wanted. That's what our forefathers wanted. They wanted the book of God. They wanted the Bible. They wanted it preached. They wanted it expounded. They wanted to see the living God in it. They wanted it read. Let me appeal to you to read the book. Let me appeal to you to search the scriptures. Let me appeal to you, gentlemen, to study the Word of God. To use your little short life well. And hearing it preached. And hearing it expounded. And reading it. And every time you read it, say to your soul, O God, that I might know thee, the author of the book. Good men, godly men, true Christians, the real descendants of that spiritual awakening which we call the Protestant Reformation, have always been men and women of the Bible. They have followed in the line of their Savior Jesus Christ, who of the Bible said, it is written within my heart. They follow King David, who said it was his delight, and he meditated on it day and night. And thy word, he says, I've hid it in my heart. It's my meditation all the day. I tell you, prime ministers love this book. There was a famous prime minister called William Gladstone. He wrote a book defending the inspiration and authority of the scriptures. A prime minister, I remind you. There are not too many prime ministers today writing a book defending the Bible. But he did, and he called it the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. And you know what he did? He was a famous statesman, a very good statesman, in fact, a very well-known politician throughout the world. And he wrote down a list of all the great men that he had ever known in state and power. And he came up with a list of 95 individuals of the world's greatest men whom he had known. And then, having done that, he marked after their names which of them were followers of the Bible. And he knew them personally, 95 great men. And 87 loved and studied and obeyed the Word of God. Politicians have loved the Bible, the best politicians. William Wilberforce, Oliver Cromwell, the presidents of the United States like Grant and Lincoln. Lincoln said, I am busily engaged in the study of the Bible. It is God's word. It finds me where I am. President Grant said, to the influence of this book, we are indebted for the progress made to civilization. And to this book we must look to for our guide for the future. Some of the greatest musicians loved the Bible. Felix Mendelssohn carried it everywhere, and he was greatly abused for his confidence in its inspiration and authority. Scientists love it. Newton, Faraday. Luther said, my conscience is captive to the Bible. Imagine that. Captured to the Bible. In bondage to the book of God. That's a Protestant. One who's captured to the Word of God. Today we have people and they're bound to pleasure. And they're bound to drugs. And they're bound to booze. And they're bound to the world. But a true Protestant is bound to the book. How few are bound to the Bible today, captive to the Holy Scriptures. And thus I appeal to you to know the Bible. But why, you ask me, why should I know the Bible? I'm so busy, preacher. It's okay for you. You're paid to study the Bible. But I'm so busy and life is so busy and there's so much to do. And I can't give time to Bible reading and to hearing sermons and to attending Bible study. But I tell you, you must. You must. Because this is no ordinary book. It is God's book, and he speaks to you through it. To say you have no time for the Bible is to say you have no time for God. If you came into the house of a great man and you said to him, I've no time for your words. Don't open your mouth. Don't want to hear you speak. What would that man do to you? He'd drive you out, and he'd be right too. And there's some of us that treat God like that. Talk about him. But we don't want to listen to his words. We don't want to hear him. We don't want to hear him. And there's people treat the Lord like that. You had better make time for God. You had better listen to God. Because I tell you this, you're all going to stand before him soon. You'd better listen to him now. You need the Bible. Theodore Roosevelt, a great American president, said, a thorough understanding of the Bible is better than a college education. And he was right. You need the Bible. And I need the Bible. And God has given it to us for that need. And knowing it, it becomes powerful in your life. That's what Paul says to Timothy here, doesn't he? From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. The power of the Bible. The power of the book. You've known the Bible from a child, Timothy. And it's able. Oh, the ability of the book. This book cleanses us. This book illuminates us. This book purifies us. This book guides us. This book brings us to glory if we follow it. The Bible has power. I tell you, it has power. It's changed the hearts of many a man. It's taken the drug addict out of the gutter and made him a preacher of the Lord. Because there was a day he opened the book and the Holy Spirit let the light of it shine into his soul. And that's what we need. To feel the power of the Bible. It imparts wisdom. Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Oh, there's so many fools today. There's fools in Parliament. And there's fools in universities. And there's fools running about saying there's no God. And we've evolved from monkeys. And we came from nothing. And we're going to nothing. Fools. Fools who know nothing. But it's this Bible that gives you light. It gives you understanding. It tells you where you came from. And it tells you where you're going. And it tells you how to get there. It's a map and compass. It's a chart to direct us. If we did but know it, instead of having it as a closed book, it imparts wisdom. This is wisdom. This is understanding and counsel and knowledge. Some of the greatest monarchs of our land loved the Bible. Edward VI was a godly young fella. He didn't live a long reign, but when he was being crowned, he was presented with three swords. Symbols of office and power and authority and state. And as he was presented with the three swords, he said, one is missing. One is missing. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it is, he said, to be preferred before these ensigns of royalty. And he was right. And so now they present to the monarchs of our land the Bible on their coronation, and they say, this is wisdom, this is counsel, and this is understanding. You know, a king of Israel, well, the first thing he had to do when he ascended the throne was to write out himself a copy of the Bible. That was the first thing he had to do. To write himself out a copy of the Bible. So he'd have his own copy and know how to govern the land right. To give him wisdom and understanding and counsel. In fact, David said, one of the early kings of Israel, he says, I have more understanding through this book than through my counselors. In fact, he said, thy word is my counsel. And if some of our politicians would go to the counsel of the book and get back to the book, I tell you, we wouldn't be going down into the dark cavern of judgment that this nation's going to go into if the nation would get back to the book. It makes us wise. Wise unto what? From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's what the Bible's all about. It's to show unto us the way of salvation. You need saved. The Bible shows you how to be saved. Not through the church. Not through the sacraments. Not through minister or priest. But through Jesus Christ alone, able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that's what the book is about. It is to bring to us Jesus Christ. It is to point to us to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. It is to impart to us faith in that living Redeemer at the right hand of the Father. Has this book brought you to the footstool of Christ? Has this book brought you to bend the knee before the Lord and to say, my prophet, priest, and king? Has this book saved your soul through faith in Christ? That's why the book is given to us. Not to carry about. Not just to parade, but to lead us to Jesus. And after you find Christ, it's given to keep you close to Christ and to make you strong in Christ and to turn you into a person like Christ. That's why the book is given. And it's not a closed book that does that. It's an open Bible that does that. It's a preached and an expound Bible that does that. And we need men who get back to the Bible. If this Bible doesn't make you come to Christ and doesn't make you love Christ, gentlemen, then I say unto you, you might as well not have a Bible. You might as well not have a Bible. And you might as well not bother your heads praying around with one. If this Bible doesn't get you to Christ, Jesus spoke to the Jews in his day, and he said, search the scriptures, for in them is eternal life, and they write of me. And then he said to them, you have your Bibles, but you will not come to me that you might have life. It's not a Bible that gets us to heaven. It's Christ in the Bible that gets us to heaven. And you had all better find Christ. And you had all better have your faith in him. And you had all better become strong Christians by obeying it and by supporting the preaching of it. And if you don't, I have to tell you this solemnly, that it will rise up against you in the judgment day and condemn you.